This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
8:06 on this bright Sunday morning here in Chicago. Beautiful temperatures today. Get out and enjoy it. Finally, the humidity is at a decent level to be able to spend some time outside. So, and here we are. It's August 7th already. So I hate to say it. I've started seeing all those back-to-school sales and things like that starting. So, yeah, get out there and enjoy the Sunday and enjoy the summer while it's still here. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is my good friend Kim Geiger. And Kim is my colleague at the Chicago Tribune. She covers state government based out of the James R. Thompson Center. But she also had the wonderful experience of attending her very first national political convention in Philadelphia. Basically, you got to do it, so I didn't have to, mm-hmm. since I had Cleveland. We'll always have Cleveland. But just what's your impression of these national political conventions? Is it what you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of long days, a lot of politics just strung together for 18 hours every single day, 5 days in a row. It's pretty intense.
And it's one-stop shopping because you have everybody there.
Yes. It's interesting from looking at it from a local perspective, like, where we were in the staying in the hotel with the Illinois delegation, getting up every morning, having breakfast with them, hearing from all the leaders from the Illinois Democratic Party. So, yeah, it was very much one-stop shopping, and kind of you get a sense of how there's what's going on the main stage, but then there's also what's happening more locally, which is it's a time for the party to kind of regroup and figure out what their agenda is and really rally themselves. So that was interesting to see.
I had Tony Arnold on last week from WBEZ, who also mm-hmm. was out there too, and he had gone to both conventions. And obviously, you only went to Philadelphia, yeah. but I'm curious if you feel that while there was a good chunk of that delegation was a Bernie Sanders representation in the Illinois mm-hmm. delegation, whether you feel that, you know, what we saw on TV and people sometimes booing and that kind of thing, whether you think that the Illinois delegation comes out of things solid, and whether, you know, that actually translates into support, an enthusiastic support for
right.
Hillary Clinton.
I don't know about enthusiastic support, but definitely the Illinois delegation was far better behaved than the delegation right next to us, which was California delegation. They were really the ones making a lot of noise, doing a lot of booing, waving a lot of signs. The Illinois delegation was pretty tame. And I think that was kind of a point of pride for Speaker Madigan. That was important to him. He really wanted to show that he could keep his party disciplined. And I think that was pretty well accomplished.
Well, speaking of Speaker Madigan, who's the chairman of the Democratic Party in Illinois, we've seen Governor Rauner and more recently Republican legislators and legislative candidates mm-hmm. Resurrecting the issue of term limits.
Right. Yeah. So while I was in Philadelphia and the Democratic Convention was kicking off, you were here covering the governor who I understand had an event and read from a teleprompter and talked about how he wants term limits, which I thought was interesting because he was here at the Tower a couple of months ago and told our editorial board that term limits was off the table, at least for now. So, and that was at a time when he was kind of thinking that he was going to get some grand bargain on his turnaround agenda. And instead, what we ended up with was this stopgap budget that is going to get the state through the end of the year. But he sold the stopgap budget as sort of like a pause in the negotiations over the turnaround agenda. So it was a little surprising to me that then suddenly term limits came back onto the table. But that came after the remap situation with the courts. So I guess there's an element of he's just trying to keep pushing whatever agenda items he can push during this sort of lull.
Well, and of course, with term limits, that's always something that polls very popular with people. But it's also would require a change in the Illinois Constitution.
Yep.
And of course, Rauner, when he campaigned for governor, he simultaneously was behind an effort to buy citizens' initiative by petition to change the Constitution to put legislative term limits into place, and that was struck down by the courts.
Right.
And basically the courts kind of have finally said that isn't something you can do by petition, unlike the you know, independent map, the redistricting thing that we're talking about. But the courts have basically just kind of said term limits are not something you can do by citizens' initiative. It would have to come from the General Assembly to initiate it. And, of course, the likelihood of the members of the legislature to put on the ballot a proposal to limit their own terms, I'm not exactly sure how minuscule you want to describe the chances of that ever happening.
Yes, exactly. Very, very low chances of that happening.
So you have this, but it is politically popular.
Yeah.
And so in a election season for the General Assembly, with all of the House up for re-election, you have 40 of the 59 seats up for election in the Senate. And now not all of them are competitive races, and you get down to, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so races in that. But nevertheless, it seems like term limits is the Republican flag that they're planting. And you know, in part, and the same holds true with Democrats, there isn't a lot for them to brag about on either side to campaign on.
That's true. There's been it's been about a year and a half of really not a lot getting accomplished, and so in that sense, the term limits thing does play well with voters.
And it ties in, of course, to the governor's attacks on House Speaker Michael Madigan, who was elected to the legislature in 1970.
Yes, he's been around for a very long time
and has been Speaker since 1983, except for a 2-year pause when Republicans actually took control of the House. But it we now have, and this was launched on Friday, and you're going to start seeing these commercials, particularly on cable. I know that there's a cable buy, commercials under the guise of Fix Illinois and fixillinois.com. And Governor Rauner appears at the end. And it's what's interesting about this, it's we just talked that the courts have ruled that a citizen petition drive to change the Constitution for term limits is not constitutional.
Right.
But this is a petition drive.
Yeah.
Support term limits.
Right.
So, I mean, in essence, it's almost like Governor Rauner borrowing from the playbook of Pat Quinn.
Right.
And so for practical purposes, it has no effect. It has no real effect. But for political purposes, it's a way to generate a list of supporters that you could ostensibly tap for campaign help.
Yep.
And so you have the governor also just putting $5 million into the Illinois Republican Party. I believe that's around $10 million so far this year. And that money will then be funneled over to Republican candidates for the legislature, ostensibly campaigning on term limits. Then you have the fact that this Fix Illinois program is going on, which is funded by Turnaround Illinois Incorporated. And I'll explain the intricacies of this Turnaround Illinois Incorporated, because there's also a Turnaround Illinois PAC.
Right.
But there's two different things at play here. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments with my good friend and colleague, Kim Geiger, state government reporter from the Chicago Tribune. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio and Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue on this beautiful, slightly overcast Sunday morning. Joining me here in studio is Kim Geiger, state government reporter for the Chicago Tribune. She's based out of the James R. Thompson Center, which has not been sold yet.
That's right. It has not.
Nor does it look like it's going to be sold anytime soon.
Nope.
We were talking about the issue of kind of the perpetual campaign, basically, the latest incarnation of the perpetual campaign between Republican Governor Rauner and the Democratic supermajorities that are in the House and Senate, but particularly House Speaker Michael Madigan.
Right.
And this issue of the Fix Illinois program, the petition drive that the governor is organizing, And this is being run by the Turnaround Illinois Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a Turnaround Illinois Political Action Committee.
Right.
That's a distinct, but not necessarily separate body. And the one thing about Turnaround Illinois Inc. is it is what's known as a 501c4 corporation,
right,
for purposes of the Internal Revenue Code.
Right.
And so, not to get too far into the weeds on this, but this is basically an organization that does not have to disclose who gives it money.
Correct.
Turnaround Illinois Political Action Committee does have to.
Right.
And in fact, Turnaround Illinois Political Action Committee has two donors. That would be Bruce mm-hmm. Rauner and a gentleman named Sam Zell, whose name we really don't talk about in this building very much.
Right.
And Turnaround Illinois PAC has given Turnaround Illinois Inc. some money, but right, they're based out in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a social welfare organization. So it's
quote
a little,
unquote social welfare.
Right. Work. So it's a little tricky because that's an organization that's really technically not allowed to spend more than half. Like it has to spend less than half of its money on political related
electioneering
stuff
and political activity.
Yeah. And we see this a lot in D.C. with these kinds of groups where it's kind of unclear how much money are you spending on political stuff versus the more, I guess, educational element of the social welfare tax status. So it'll be interesting to see how that works for them.
Right. And it's a new nuance mm-hmm. into the way that money is in state politics.
Right.
I mean, because we see it at the national level. And for the most part, you know, it's not a super PAC.
Right.
Actually, Turnaround Illinois PAC is
a
super
PAC.
PAC.
Right.
But PACs have to report their donors.
Yeah.
And it's an independent expenditure PAC,
mm-hmm.
which means that that allows for the unlimited mm-hmm. raising of money. But this is kind of like what we've seen in presidential campaigns
yeah.
before. Crossroads,
yeah.
GPS,
yes.
that kind of thing.
Yes.
The Karl Rove,
mm-hmm.
the Karl Rove organization.
Right. Yeah. And this is one of those things that's interesting because it takes a while. There's a delay, right? You have these groups that pop up during election years. They spend a bunch of money. People are kind of scratching their heads going, where'd this money come from? And also, are they following the rules with the tax code? And then it takes, like, I've seen a couple of organizations just now starting to kind of get into trouble for their spending ratios for, like, the 2012 election year. So there's a delay with these kinds of things, which is frustrating, especially from a journalistic standpoint.
Yes, because they do have to account for spending.
They do, yeah. But it takes a while, right? And they're filing tax returns, and you can extend it, and it takes a couple more years, and then somebody has to decide they're going to dig into it and raise questions. So that's one of the most frustrating things about these kinds of organizations is that they can affect and influence elections, and then years down the road, maybe you get some transparency.
So these ads that they're running are have already started, and in fact, I forget the size of the cable buy in the Chicago area, but I was checking some of the TV station public files, and nothing appeared for broadcast TV mm-hmm. in Chicago, and of course, that's hugely expensive
right,
to advertise. In fact, it's very interesting that you have State Representative Mike McAuliffe, a legislator from the Northwest side, the only Republican mm-hmm. legislator from Chicago, who is a target of Democrats, is on the air right now. You know, it's the first week of August, and he's on broadcast television mm-hmm. Running expensive advertising spots for his reelection. That's highly unusual, especially at this point, and highly unusual for a single legislative campaign.
Right.
But in checking some of the TV files on this term limits, the Fix Illinois thing, I didn't see anything in the Chicago broadcast market, but I did see that there was a request to buy TV time at a station called WSIL-TV in Harrisburg, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Harrisburg, Illinois, down in southern Illinois, is also where a certain Democratic state representative, Brandon Phelps, mm-hmm. lives. And there are other downstate Democratic targets.
Right.
Located in that area, the belief being that you may have kind of a Trump helpful element for Republicans in more rural parts mm-hmm. of the state than obviously in downtown Chicago kind right. of thing. But if the TV buys, and of course it's cheaper to buy TV right. in Harrisburg, Illinois than it is in Chicago, but the belief being that, you know, is this going to be targeted then as part of a comprehensive effort to go after these Democratic targets that the governor has vowed to try to help erode Mike Madigan's leadership?
Sure, sure. And maybe, however, any effort to erode Mike Madigan's supermajority is going to be like a multi-year effort, right? There's not really, even the number of targets that they have right now, even if they took all of them out, he would still have an overwhelming majority in the House.
But not the supermajority.
But not the supermajority. But as the Speaker himself has conceded in recent months, he doesn't actually have a working supermajority right now anyway. They're not really able to override the governor on a host of different things. They have exactly the number that they need, and they can't really corral people to accomplish that most of the time. So, and Speaker Madigan was interviewed by a colleague of ours, Amanda Vinicky, last week, and she asked him about this, and he said, you know, that his focus is really on just having a solid majority. He didn't sound like he was that worried about having the supermajority, and there is some belief that maybe he's better off without the supermajority, because right now the governor is out there saying, you know, Mike Madigan could do all this stuff if he wanted to. He has a supermajority. So if he lost a couple of seats, he would probably actually be in a politically a little bit easier position. But anyway, the point is, this election doesn't look like it's going, no matter what happens, it doesn't look like it's going to drastically change the dynamics in Springfield, because there just aren't that many Democrats that are vulnerable.
No, and certainly as far as the Senate and the overwhelming majority that right. Democrats have in the Senate, there aren't that many contested races in contested areas.
Yeah.
That Republicans are challenging. So that supermajority is almost certainly likely to maintain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're looking at a sort of if the governor has a shot at accomplishing this objective of his, we're looking at a multi-year, multi-election cycle project. And this is just the first year of that.
So stay tuned, as they say. Kim Geiger, thank you so much for joining me this morning here in studio, in the Allstate Showcase studio. Kim is the state government reporter for the Chicago Tribune at the James R. Thompson Center, and you can read her by buying a copy of your Chicago Tribune or at chicagotribune.com. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Sunday Spin.